Father, we thank you so much for this morning, and thank you for an opportunity to celebrate love. It is appropriate, Lord, that we celebrate love because love is of God. And to celebrate love is to celebrate God. We pray today, Lord, that we will experience first the love that comes from you. And that, Lord, your love will so overwhelm and envelop us, Lord. And then, Lord, that you will fill us with so much of your love that we will begin to flow onto others and to pass on what you have given to us. We're grateful for another opportunity in church. And we're praying, Lord, that you bless us. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things in your law. Teach us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord, and God bless you. Thank you very much. Beautiful choir and wonderful singing. Amen. You know, can I just ask if you guys would just move in just a little bit, please, just so if someone would join the service, they would just catch, okay? Yeah, just a little bit. Okay. That's okay. That's okay. Powerful. Amen. Well, today is Valentine's Day. It's a day of love, isn't it? It's a day of reds and pinks, I'm told, and other such colors. Amen. And we thank God for an opportunity to celebrate love. Amen. Amen. Now, before I share with you the word of God, I want to introduce once again this beautiful box here, which is a library of books, right? And these are the top 40 books written by Bishop Dag Hayward Mills, who is our pastor. Amen. And these books, I was just looking through the titles the other day, and I was just thinking that anybody who would read through even just half of this will inevitably change their destiny. It will affect you. We're all affected by what we read. That is why school is important. All that we get from school, we get from books, isn't it? Nobody becomes anything without a book. You can never become a nurse. You can never become a doctor. You can never become an engineer. You cannot become anything without looking into a book. So a book is an assembly of knowledge. Knowledge that is capable of transforming people and making you into something you are not. Hallelujah. Something you are not, and something you are not likely to become without a book. Amen. So these are great books. They are books on leadership. They are books on humility, books on prayer. You know, one of my favorite books is the book He That Hath, the book that explains the science of having and not having. You know, sometimes we don't understand why we don't have. And some people just naively attribute it to a curse. And some people just say that, you know, maybe my family's cursed. That's why we're all poor. Or things like that. But it's more complex than that. Amen. Amen. Even if you are cursed, you need to understand how the curse is operating. Do you see what I'm saying? So that you can begin to undo it by going in the opposite direction. So I really want to encourage you to get a copy of this, and I thought it would make a great Valentine gift.
Amen.
I mean, this is going to bless you much more than a single rose will. Amen. Yeah, if you choose a rose flower over this, you don't understand life. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because by tonight, your rose flower will already be dipping and bending over and telling you, my time is up. You know, but this is going to keep giving and giving and giving and giving. It will greatly improve your life. It will improve the quality of your person. Do you understand? Sometimes, and it's a good day to talk about this because we're talking about love. You know, last week I told somebody, you know, love is such a beautiful thing. And then she laughed back and said, love is such a difficult thing. Do you understand? And I thought, how appropriate. Because both are really true. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But sometimes love is very difficult. When you're trying to love somebody, but it's not working. You're not getting the same thing back. Do you understand? And it's so difficult. And sometimes it is because of the quality of the personality. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah, that all people are not the same. Do you see? But people can be improved. You can improve on yourself. You can be better than how you came. Do you see what I'm saying? Just like we do everything. I mean, most of us have improved our looks. I mean, our hair is not like it was when we arrived. Our looks, even our lips don't look like how they were when we woke up. Do you understand? So when we woke up, we probably not just had the lips, but you know how you can have, you know. So, well, I didn't say that. Amen. But improvement makes you look and do better. Amen. And knowledge will improve you. Amen. So I really want to recommend these books to you. And we're doing a very special thing for all our members. Only for Lighthouse Chapel churches, where we're doing this entire collection of 40 books for $65 shipped to your doorstep. I think it's unbeatable. I mean, you can't, if you take the shipping cost out, that works out to about $1 per book. And you can't get this anywhere. But, you know, Bishop decided to do this for us. And it's such a blessing. So I want to encourage all of you. I mean, if you really love somebody and care about the person, rather than just buying them a card or buying them some flowers or something like that, even taking them out to eat, something that might not even be nice, why don't you get them one of this? Do you understand? Get them one of this. The art of following, you know. How to be sweet influences of the Holy Spirit, of the anointing. Steps to the anointing. Catch the anointing. Wow. Name it, take it, claim it. Backsliding. Many are called. See, how to understand even your calling in life. Do you see? Because you don't really start to live until you understand your calling. Amen. And I think this is going to bless you. Daughter, you can make it. Wow. Quiet time. Understanding the quiet time. Right. So it's a blessing, I tell you. One all the way through to 40. And I know that it's going to change your life. Amen. Right. And I told you, like I said last week, even if you don't know what to do with it, just keep it in your house. Just buy it. And just display it in your house. You see, what might happen is by the time you really understand your need for such a book, it will not be at $65. Do you understand? So you buy it. A book is never a waste when you buy one. Amen. And so that's going to bless you. Hallelujah. Then, today, we have this book right here. Yeah. This is a very special book. It's a very, very special book, Model Marriage. And this is the book that has become so popular. Many churches are using it for marriage counseling because it contains just about everything. Just about everything. You know, the part of this book that's blown me away recently is the back of it that has... I mean, first of all, the very back of it shows about, let me just show you this. You should see this, you know. bibliography. Do you know what that is? Shows you where the information came from.
Wow.
Now, just look at this. You have all of this, and then you have all of that, then you have all of this, then you have all of that, then you have this. So information from, and look at it. I mean, can you see it? You see? Okay. This, each one of this is a book. Each one of this is a book, right? So this is research and information from so many books put together, compressed together in one volume just for you. Hallelujah. Just for you, yeah. And I think, no, this is mine. Right. I think that it's going to bless your life greatly. Amen. If you have any plans of falling in love, or if you have already fallen in love, and you do plan to stay in love and to remain in love, then I think this is a companion. This is the next important thing to get. You know, as I was watching that play, and by the way, that was some great acting. You guys are great. You know, as I was watching the play, and Levi got on his knees, says, "I want to spend the rest of my life with you." I just asked myself, does he know what he's saying? Do you see? And I was just thinking, do you know what is in this person? Do you see it? And you are making a commitment to spend the rest of your life with this person. And again, you don't know how long that is. Do you see? You don't know how long the rest of your life is. Do you see? So that's quite a big commitment. It's a good commitment, but it's not to be taken lightly. And you need information on how to spend the rest of your life with someone. You need to know a lot about what it takes to spend the rest of your life with someone. Because a lot happens, you know, in life. And to spend the rest of it with someone, you need to be informed. You need knowledge. There's a lot of information that you must acquire. Hallelujah. And I promise you that an investment into one of these books is going to help you greatly. You know, I've been blessed. We were counseled from this book when we got married, and that was 22 years ago. Yeah. You know, at the time, the book was just this thick, just about that. You see, so imagine that this much has lasted for 22 years. I think that you guys have a better chance. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's helped us. I mean, today, I still remember lines from my marriage counseling sessions. I still remember, I remember, you know, Bishop Saki. Bishop Saki took us through some of the sessions, and I can remember some of the things he told us not to do and not to say. Like, don't say never, isn't it? Don't say always, isn't it? Yeah, and I still remember it. I mean, and I still apply it. When I'm talking, I kind of try to, you know, avoid never. You see, yeah. And, you know, my wife added one. She used to get upset when I would say something. It's just this. Don't say just. So if I did something and she's upset or something like that, and I said, but I just said this. Don't say just. So that's three of them. Amen. So anyway, so I'm thinking I should share something with you from this book. What do you think? I think that on Valentine's Day, we should talk about marriage. Amen. So, amen. No, I tell you, this book is going to bless you. It's going to. And what does it cost to obtain one of these? Oh, really? So what are you going to do for us? It's $30. You can buy one of these for $20. All right. What a blessing. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, this is the book you buy before you get married. Yeah. Sometimes at the time you get married, it's a bit late. All right. Amen. So, I believe we're celebrating love. Amen. And especially on Valentine's Day, people celebrate romantic love. They celebrate the kind of love that puts a man and a woman together. Amen. A man and a woman together in a romantic way, do you see? Intending to, for that relationship to culminate in a marriage, like he showed us today, isn't it? That you're supposed to say, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. That's what you mean when you start loving someone. These days you have a lot of casual expressions of love. You have a lot of people who say, I love you, who don't really mean that they plan to spend the rest of their lives with you. They really do mean that they want to hang out with you. They want to do stuff with you. They want to flow with you. They want to sleep with you. They want to do so many other things with you for as long as it will last, you know, and not expressly that that they would, you know, do this forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. But marriage is the goal of romance. Amen. And when people are in love, then they're expected to spend the rest of their lives together. And not only get married and stop loving, but to continue to remain in love and to continue loving and growing in love until death do us part. Amen. So I'm sharing with you from chapter 5 from this book. The first, it says, biblical reasons for marriage. Why do people marry? Amen. Now, marriage was created by God. Hallelujah. And so it's important to look into God's word to find his purpose and his reason for marriage. God created marriage. Marriage is not a cultural thing. Perhaps the way we do it, the way we arrive at it may vary from culture to culture. Do you understand? But the actual thing is not cultural. We don't marry because we're from a certain place. We marry because God created marriage and it's a good thing. Amen. Now, what is the reason for marriage? The first one is to solve the problem of loneliness. To solve the problem of loneliness. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Genesis chapter 2. I'm just giving you 4 quick points and we'll be done. Amen. Because it's almost time to close already. Right. To solve the problem of loneliness. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Amen. Says, it is not good for the man to be alone. Everybody say that with me. It is not good for the man to be alone. Amen. It is not good to be alone. I think 2 Sundays ago we talked about isolation, right? And here again, the Bible is teaching us that it is not good for a man to be alone. Okay, now here, after God says it is not good for a man to be alone, then he says, I will make him an help suitable for him, right? Then whatever he goes on to do explains to us what he means by not being alone. Do you see what I'm saying, right? So, for example, if I say that, it is not good for Paul to sit where he's sitting, and I pull a chair and I place it here, then by that you understand what I mean. That I do not mean that it is wrong to sit, but I do mean that where he's sitting does not work. So my provision, the alternate provision I make to what he's doing, shows you what I mean by him, or what I mean by it is not good to be where you are. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. So if God says it is not good for a man to be alone, then he says, I'm going to make an help meet for him. This word meet means suitable, right? So I'm going to make an appropriate help for him. And then he goes ahead to make a woman. Do you understand? Yeah. Then it means that what God means by a guy being alone is not that he has another friend who is male. Do you see what I'm saying? Or that he doesn't have a roommate. What do you think? Yeah, it doesn't mean that you don't have a roommate, but that you are without a woman, isn't it? So God says it's not good to be alone. Can I have an amen? Amen. And that is why people marry. So we marry to solve the problem of loneliness. In fact, Psalm 68 and verse 6, very quickly, please. Psalm 68 and verse 6, the Bible says, God setteth the solitary in families. Can you see that? So when God finds a lonely person, when God finds someone who is alone, or God's solution to aloneness, if you like, you know, is family, isn't it? And family begins with marriage. Amen. So the reason why we marry is so that we will avoid the not good situation. Now listen, if the creator of the universe says something is not good, I think you should believe him. Amen. You should believe him. It's not just somebody down the road who just said something is not good. You know, it's not your pastor, it's not your father, it's not your mother who says something is not good. But God is saying that it is not good. The one who created man, says it is not good. Now, by the time God is saying, can you go back to the other verse? By the time God is saying this, he has made so many animals. Wow. Do you see what I'm saying? So in a certain sense, if we're talking about being alone, then Adam was not alone because he had company. It was just not the appropriate kind of company. Do you understand? A man cannot fill his house with dogs and say that I'm not alone. Do you see what I'm saying? Because God saw all the dogs in the Garden of Eden and still said that Adam is alone, isn't it? So you can't just have a zoo, you can't have pets and say that that's my company. No, you have to have people. Amen. You need to have people in your life. It says, God said it is not good that the man should be alone. Amen. Amen. It is not good. When God says it is not good, it is not good. Hallelujah. It is not good. It is not good. The one who made man says, you know, it's not good for this thing or this person to be alone. Amen. So that's why we marry. Hallelujah. To not be alone. That's the first reason. The second reason why we marry is to have a suitable helper. All right? To have a help meet. Amen. He said in that same verse, he says, it is not good for man to be alone. All right? I will make him an help meet for him. Amen. I will make him an help meet for him. So when a person is getting married, the goal or what you're trying to achieve is to get, first of all, a helper. Amen. Amen. You're getting someone to help you. Hallelujah. So when a man is choosing a wife, he's choosing a helper. And when a woman is being chosen as a wife, then your understanding must be that you're coming in as a helper. Do you see what I'm saying? You're coming in as a helper. Hallelujah. As a what? A helper. Amen. Now, I know that in today's world, people have all sorts of ideas. It sounds more like, you know, it's two people, two partners just coming together to form a 50-50 kind of enterprise. Do you understand? Yeah. But if you follow what's going on here, you see that somebody has been made. And God said, this guy shouldn't be alone. I'm going to make a helper or an assistant, if you like. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? An assistant. Somebody who comes to help. Another word for help is assist. Right? Somebody who's coming to help you. Hallelujah. So that is why it's important for a man to be doing something. Otherwise, when I arrive, what exactly am I helping to do here? Do you see? The reason why many marriages fail and the reason why it looks pointless many times is because there's nothing really somebody's doing to assist and to help. Hallelujah. But a man must be up to something so that the woman can be brought in to help. Amen. But it's also important for the woman to understand is that her job in this is to help. My role here is to help. I've come to help you, not to come and build my own life and fulfill my own dreams and do my own thing. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, that there are not two men here. There are not two main guys here. Do you see? There is a boss and an assistant. Are you getting what I'm saying? I think if you have a job, it's very easy to understand what I'm saying. If you have a job, somebody decides that I'm going to start making donuts. I'm going to make a factory. I'm going to make donuts. Then he stands up and he realizes, no, it's not good to run this factory alone. Wow. I cannot succeed and do well. Nobody can succeed. You know, you want to build a big factory. You can't do it all by yourself. So he says, I'm going to get someone to help me. So you go and employ an assistant donut maker who is coming to help you make the donuts. Do you understand? When they come in, they are your assistant. Do you get it? They don't come with their own vision that, all right, you know, as we're making donuts, I'll be making pies on the side. Are you following what I'm saying? They don't come in with their own vision. They come and help you. And so you're the boss. Do you get it? And everything they do must revolve around you and your vision and what you're trying to do in that place. Does it make sense? That is why not everyone fits that role. So even when God is bringing someone, he says, I'm going to make him and help, but he's got to be the right one. Do you understand? Wow. Meet, suitable. Do you understand? Now, many people think beautiful is suitable. Do you get it? But I just want to say that beautiful is not the same as suitable. You get it? You can meet someone who is very beautiful, but very unsuitable. For a helper. Do you see what I'm saying? Because not everything is helpful. Do you see? Like I'm preaching right now, this morning. This guy right here is very helpful. It's a suitable help. Do you understand? Because this microphone assists, you know, and helps my preaching. It helps my voice to get to you. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, if I'm preaching, and because, well, it's a microphone. Is Jiffa here? Did you bring your baby? You brought your baby. Does he have a feeding bottle? You don't? Oh, you don't have a feeding bottle here. All right, I was going to borrow a feeding bottle. But you see, if I'm preaching and you decide that you want to help me and you hand me a feeding bottle because it's held the same way, do you see what I'm saying? Now, you've given me a help, but it's not suitable help. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, what about this? When that baby starts crying, instead of giving him a feeding bottle, we give him a microphone. What about that? That's also not suitable help. So you can see the same thing goes to the left and it's wrong. And it comes to the right and it's right. So sometimes people are like that. They married this person and it's wrong. But they married that person and it's right. Because depending on who that person is, the definition of suitable varies. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you don't choose a spouse just because they look good. You don't choose a spouse just because their chest is broad. Do you understand? Their chest is broad. They've got, what, a six-pack instead of a one-pack like mine. When is one-pack? It means low maintenance. When it's six, you have to fix six. But so you must learn to respect the one. Amen. Is what I'm sharing with you making sense? Yeah. So when you look into this book, for example, there is a whole chapter, actually more than one chapter, that is devoted to explaining personalities and understanding human personalities. Because we can tell that we're not all the same, isn't it? Sometimes you see people and you can see from person to person, there are some very quiet people, there are some very strong people, there are some very laid-back people. I mean, God doesn't make the same of anything. Do you understand? God always makes variations. And human beings also don't come in the same way. We're not all the same. Hallelujah. But as long as we are made by God, we're all good. But now we have to find the suitable person, the right person. And I tell you, when you have the right person in your life, you're guaranteed to be successful. Amen. When you have the right help with you, you're bound not to fail. Do you understand? There is a verse about help, which I think I should share with you. It's in 2 Chronicles. Let me share that verse with you. Go quickly to 2 Chronicles. Are you getting anything out of this? Okay. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 15. 2 Chronicles. Look at this. It says, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his fame, look at it, his fame spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Can you see that? Says he became famous because of his help. Because of the sort of help that he had, he became famous. There are many people who become great because of who they marry. And then there are some people who also go down because of who they marry. I mean, both ladies and guys. Hallelujah. Because if you also attach yourself as a helper to the wrong person, someone whose purpose in life doesn't suit what you have to offer as a helper, you find yourself being idle, you find yourself being abused, and you find yourself not being very useful. Do you see what I'm saying? Because you're in the wrong person's life. Amen. Yeah, you're in the wrong person's life. Like I told you, if you give me a feeding bottle, you'll find it sitting here most of the time. You see, I might even knock it over. But if you put it in that baby's hand, he'll be sucking on it the whole time. Because the bottle has found the right place. And so it's being put to use. It's engaged. But when it's in the wrong hands, then you find that it's being abused. So a lot of marital abuse is also from being attached to the wrong person. Can I have an amen? So there's a lot, you know, in chapter... There's a chapter here that talks about personalities. 16, right? Chapter 16, you know.
and so on, talks about different personalities. And then chapter 17, what it means to have a sanguine husband, what it means to have a melancholic husband, what it means, the strengths of a melancholic wife, the weaknesses of a melancholic husband. You know, if you read through all these things before you get married, a lot will not surprise you. You understand who you're dealing with. In fact, first of all, if you're single, you understand who would not make a good husband for you. No matter how big his bunch of roses, you just know that this is not a good person for me. You understand? Not that he's not a good person. He's not a good person for you. Amen. And that makes a big difference. When you have a good person who is not good for you, it can translate into having someone you think is a bad person. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes you think you've married a bad person, but it's just because you married someone who is not suitable for you. Or you're in a relationship with someone who is not suitable for you. He's not suitable for your temperament. He's not suitable for your abilities. He's not suitable for even your vision, what you want out of life. This person is not good for you. This person is good to you, but good to you is not the same as good for you. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So a lot of people who are good to you are great, but they are not good for you for this kind of arrangement. If the purpose and the goal is to stay together, then the person, the help, must be the right kind. Can I have an amen? How many understand that so far? All right. Then the third reason why we marry, number three reason why we marry, is to avoid fornication. Yeah. To avoid fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 and 2. It says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." You know, these people had written a letter to their apostle, and they were asking him, you know, based on certain things going on, you know, it's like, "Pastor, you tell us, what's the deal here?" And then he said to them, "Concerning the things you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. However, or nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Amen. So this is one of the clear places where the Bible gives you a reason to marry. Do you understand? Yeah, a reason to marry. It says, marry because you need to avoid fornication. Amen. And that's a big deal, isn't it? It's a big deal. And you see, this word fornication is just an English word. It's not a Bible word per se. It's just an English word. Who has a dictionary? Do you have a dictionary? Can you, those of you who have iPads and so on, maybe just check quickly and tell me the meaning of the word fornication. Amen. All right. Are you there? What does it say? Who's found it? Maureen, can you stand up and speak loudly, please? All right. Give her a microphone. Let's hear her. Fornication means what?
Fornication means sexual intercourse between people not married to each other.
Sexual intercourse between two, between what? People.
Between people not married to each other.
To each other. All right. So then the Bible says to avoid sexual intercourse between people not married to each other, let every man have his own wife, isn't it? And let every man, every woman have her own husband. Amen. Right. So the Bible is teaching us that it's important to avoid fornication. Amen. And that if we do marry, then it gives us the opportunity to avoid fornication, isn't it? Now, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. But if you back up to chapter 6 and verse 18, there is a verse there that says, "Flee fornication." Have you seen that? Yeah. Verse 18
Isn't it? What does it say? It says flee fornication. Flee, that means what? Check the dictionary. Flee means what? It means you should run like flying. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's something we're underestimating here. Do you see? But if the Bible is saying we must flee fornication, then it must be dangerous, isn't it? And it says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Wow. Says when you commit, it says run away from fornication. Is that what your dictionary said? What did it say? Flee is what?
Run away from a place of or a situation of danger.
Wow. Run away from a place or situation of danger, isn't it? So having sexual intercourse with people you're not married to is a situation of danger, according to the Bible. And it says, flee. And he explains. He says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Hallelujah. Now look at it. Let's pretend you don't understand sin. Pretend you don't understand sin. What about against? Against means that you're not on the same side as your body. It means it's an act that is opposed to your body. Do you see what I'm saying? It means that you are not for your body. When you eat, you are for the body. Do you understand? But he says fornication is against the body. That means it's opposed to the body. It means that you're putting the body through something that is not positive for the body, is not for the body. Do you understand? If it's not for the body, it means you are putting it through something that it was not meant for. It means you are abusing it. And if you are abusing it, it means you are hurting it. And if you are hurting it, it means you are destroying it. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. No wonder the Bible says we must flee. Hallelujah. There are consequences for hurting your body. If you like, just take your arm and keep banging on this seat. Just keep doing it and keep doing it. It won't be long before you experience the consequences, because you're not supposed to be doing that. If you like, those of you who are sitting nearer the wall, just be hitting your head against the wall. Just start going like that and just start going like that. You see, that's an act against the body. And so without intending to, you're going to start experiencing the consequences. You will hurt yourself and you will start feeling the pain. Wow. Hallelujah. It's just that we have not put fornication in that category. Wow. So that is why, especially on Valentine's Day, there's a lot of fornication. Yeah. You get it? There's a lot of casualness about something. I mean, how would you celebrate love by hurting your body? If you met somebody who was cutting himself outside here and you ask him, why are you doing that? He says, it's Valentine's Day. What are you going to say to such a person? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So God says, listen, if you're going to do this, then get your own wife and get your own husband. Isn't it? It's really simple, that just get married. Hallelujah. You just get married. And you're free to do whatever you want. But when you're not married and you do this, believe God when he speaks. Amen. Yeah. Believe God. He says that every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Hallelujah. Yeah. Tell somebody, love your body. Don't sin against it. Amen. Yeah. Right. Then my last reason for marriage today is to have children. Okay? God, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28,
He says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. Then the next verse, verse 27. So God made man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Amen. Created he them. God created male and female. Then the next verse, verse 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth up on the face of the earth. Amen. So God blessed them. God made male and female and put them together and said, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. So God puts people together for the purpose also of being fruitful and multiplying. Amen. God wants us to have children, you know, within the context of a marriage. Hallelujah. God wants us, when you start raising children, you start to understand that, you know, there must be a reason why God wants there to be a marriage, wants this job to be done in the context of marriage. Hallelujah. That means two people get together and they commit and they agree to stay and say something like what Levi said. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Now, based on the commitment that I want to spend the rest of my life with you, we can now start making babies here. And on the commitment is that you're going to be around. Do you understand? That you're going to contribute what you are supposed to contribute, and I'm going to contribute what I'm supposed to contribute. Do you understand? Because children are a product of contributions from men and women. You get it? And what the woman brings to the table and what the man brings to the table are different. You get it? You can never be man enough to not need a woman to have a child. And you can never be woman enough to not need a man to have a child. Do you understand? Now, it takes two to make them, and it takes two to raise them. Hallelujah. The influences are different. In fact, this morning, I was asking my wife about something, and I was just saying, who was supposed to teach the children this one? You know, because it just occurred to me that somebody has to teach them this one. And I was wondering, is this a job for you or is it a job for me? You see, so I was asking her, and she said, no, this one is for you. You know, and I said, really? He said, I'm supposed to do this one? Wow. I said, no, I thought it was for you. Amen. But you see that there are jobs. There are some things that are for the woman, and there are some things that are for the man. Hallelujah. Children need to grow up in structure. They need structured upbringing. They need rules. They need do this, don't do that. They need somebody who says, do this. Somebody who says, don't do this. You know, that is why children go to school. We go to school to be taught the principles of structure, that it's not an anything goes anytime kind of world. Hallelujah. That there are rules. There are things you must respect. There are things you don't do. There are things you do. There's also when to do things. You know, and we learn all that. And the home is part of instilling that training in children. Can I have an amen? Amen. So we marry so that we can create a good setting for the upbringing of children. Can I have an amen? Amen? And that's the fourth reason why God created marriage. How many can see that marriage is a good thing? Yeah. Marriage was not created to frustrate people. That is not God's reason for creating marriage. But what it is that if you enter a marriage without sufficient information, if you enter marriage without learning what is expected of you, you know, in this book, there's a chapter on the duties of a husband. Do you understand? The duties of a husband. That many men get married not knowing that they have duties. Do you understand? That you have a duty. There are duties of a husband, there's a duty of the wife, you know, there are duties, there's the subject, something on faithfulness and unfaithfulness, there's something on, here's duties of the husband. Then the next chapter is duties of the wife, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I just want to recommend this book to all of you on Valentine's Day. Amen. That perhaps in addition to your Makarios, buy this for someone that you love. Amen. And let them learn and let them be informed about what it means to fall in love, how you can fall in love and stay in love. Amen. How to like the same person for a long time. Amen. Look, it's easy to love something you continue to need. Do you know that? It's very easy to love. It's almost effortless. If you have something that you continue to need, it's very easy to love that person. On the other hand, it's very easy to dispose of someone that you don't really need. Someone who is more of an aggravation. Someone who makes you cry more than laugh. Someone who is more of a source of unhappiness than anything else. I mean, if you have a pair of shoes, you know, that are too tight on your feet, that make you uncomfortable, it's very easy to give them away. Isn't it? Yeah. Next time you see somebody coming by, your cousin comes by to visit, and you look at his or her feet and they look smaller than yours, you say, come here, come here. And you take them to the garage and you just give them the shoes and give it, because it's very disposable because of the pain that it causes you when you try to use it. But when you have shoes that are comfortable, you take them everywhere. Even where they don't quite fit, you try to smuggle them in. Isn't it? Has anybody done that before? Yeah, you're trying to smuggle the shoes in. I mean, you're trying to make it pass when it's failing. And I see most of the ladies, when I get a ride in a lady's car, you always see somewhere in the front there, there's some shoe. Yeah, there's always some shoe. Yeah. The way I know my wife just drove my car is when I look in the other side. See, the shoes are there. There's always some shoe there. Yeah, because when you need something that makes you comfortable, you always bring it with you. Do you understand? If you want to keep and stay married forever, you need to marry somebody that makes you that comfortable. You keep them forever. You bring them everywhere with you. You're going to love them always. Do you understand? And you fix them when they break. Yeah, you fix them when they break. You fix them when they break. Yeah. When you continue to need them and they are continue to be a blessing, you fix them. When I tell you, you see them coming apart, you take the stitches and you are just stitching as though they are not selling shoes anymore. I tell you, you are just trying to fix and mend it, because you know that this person is indispensable. This person adds positively to my life. I pray that God will make you a positive partner to somebody. That someone will not just choose you because of your hips, and will not choose you just because of your chest size, or choose you because of your eyeglasses, but that you will be chosen because of your relevance to their lives. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you think it's a good book? I think it's a really good book. Okay, and I really want to encourage you. A lot of churches today are buying these books and using them for marriage counseling. You know, because it's a real comprehensive assembly of information that will be a great help to you. Amen. Very big book. So many pages. How many pages? About 299 pages of information. I believe it's going to help you greatly. Amen. All right. Bow your heads with me. Today I want you to do something, especially those of you who are adults and are up to it. I want you to pray concerning your life partner. I just want you to, on Valentine's Day today, just pray. Just bow your heads and say, Lord, whoever you have prepared for me, I pray that it is that person I will meet. That, Lord, you will give me suitable help. Not just anybody, but someone who is suitable.
You know me, Lord. You know my temperament. You know how you've made me. You know exactly what will constitute help for me. You know exactly who will be a great help to me. And I pray, Lord, that my life will not miss that help. Pray also that God will help you not to sin against your own body, not to break your body, not to hurt your body, not to go against, not to turn against yourself. Destroy yourself. Destroy your soul. Destroy your body with fornication. Just pray and say, Lord, please help me. The past is the past. But today knowledge has come. And going forward, I want you to help me to live right, to do what is right in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. I'll just set aside the cares of this world. Fall in love with you again. Fall in love with you again. I'll just throw away the troubles of this world and fall in love with you. I'll just set aside the cares of this world. Fall in love with you again. Fall in love with you again. I'll just throw away the troubles of this world. Fall in love with you. Sing it again, sing it again, and tell the Lord and say, I'll just set aside the cares of this world. Fall in love with you again. Oh, I'll just throw away the troubles of this world. Fall in love with you. Sing it for the last time. Lift up both of your hands to the Lord, and I'll just set aside the cares of this world. Lift both of your hands up to the love and the Lord and say, fall in love with you again. Oh, I just throw away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate love. And we know that the first example of love is how you loved us enough to send your only begotten Son into the world. To die for us that our sins might be forgiven. That is the first example of a Valentine. To give yourself entirely for us. We pray, Lord, that today, as many as are here who have not benefited from that gesture, that first step that you took, I pray, Lord, that you will grant us the opportunity and the grace to take that step in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. You know, as we close this service, I just want to give you that opportunity. Love is not complete when it's not returned. When God loves you enough to give you his only begotten Son to die for you, the appropriate response is to return the love and say, Lord, I receive Jesus, your Son, as my Lord and Savior. So I want to give you that opportunity to do that today. To say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Forgive my sins. Forgive my mistakes. As for sins, you don't have to be a bad person to have them. You don't have to be actively bad to have sins. It's in our nature. We're just wired like that. We just do what is wrong, what does not please God. But God is giving us an opportunity. Instead of inheriting the wages of sin, the consequences of sin, He has shown us love by sending His only Son, whose blood is the only thing that takes sin away, by giving Jesus to die for us. And it is an appropriate response from you to say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord. Everybody say with me, say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Say, dear Lord, thank you for sending your Son to die for my sins. Thank you for such great love, greater than any human love I can ever experience. Lord Jesus, I will not let that go to waste. So I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. You gave your life for me. I give my life to you. You deserve my life because you gave me your life. Because you loved me, I can also love you back. Lord Jesus, let that be my story. From today, I don't want to live unto myself. Please help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.